Hey there, my name is Sam Okus. I'm the editor-in-chief at Nation's Restaurant News, bringing you a very special edition of the Extra Serving Podcast. In June, we published NRN's Top 500 list, giving you a definitive look at restaurant chain performance in 2020. We partnered with Data Central and its Firefly 500 platform on this year's Top 500, and it is chock full of insights that can help you benchmark your own brand's performance and strategize for the year ahead. Now, to dig in just a little bit deeper on how brands fared in 2020, we've been providing you with exclusive interviews with leaders from brands that defied the odds by growing in 2020. These snapshots of success give you exclusive access to the winning strategies that are helping restaurant companies navigate uncharted waters. And hopefully they're going to provide you with some ideas for tackling the challenges that you face in your own business. Stay tuned for more snapshots of success in the weeks and months ahead as we explore what exactly went right for those brands that closed 2020 with positive stories to tell. Also, be sure to head to nrn.com/2021top500. That's nrn.com/2021top500 to catch up on all of our snapshots of success and to catch the rest of our Top 500 coverage, which includes a robust data package with sales and unit count information for the nation's top 500 chain restaurants. And now let's roll into today's snapshots of success interview from NRN's 2021 Top 500. On today's episode, I am sharing a conversation with two leaders at the Oregon-based coffee drive-thru chain Dutch Bros. Co-founder Travis Boersma and CEO Joth Ricci join me to talk about how the brand's daypart strategies evolved in the pandemic, how its people culture helped the brand overcome crisis after crisis in 2020, and why the two leaders are not worried about all that competition flooding the drive-thru space. Just one note about this interview, we talked before Dutch Bros officially announced that it would be filing an IPO, so that is not a part of this conversation, but I do encourage you to head to nrn.com for more about that. Now, jumping into this conversation with Dutch Bros co-founder Travis Boersma and CEO Joth Ricci. Travis and Joth, thank you guys both so much for joining me today to talk about Dutch Bros and the incredible year you guys had in 2020. And I'm sure the incredible year you're continuing to have here into 2021. We're going to get into a lot of stuff about Dutch Bros, going to get into a lot of how you guys were able to perform so well last year and get into how this brand has evolved because of the COVID pandemic and is moving beyond into brighter things ahead. So what I wanted to start with, Travis, let's start with you. I really would love for you to give just the quick summary of what this brand is all about that you started almost 30 years ago.
Well, you know, I mean, hard to put it into one little phrase, but we've managed to come up with one that really drives our mission. And we're a fun-loving, mind-blowing company making a massive difference one cup at a time. So, you know, if I was going to elaborate on that, it's our service and the experience that we provide at the window is second to none. I think we're best in class with speed and really the customer interaction. We're in the relationship business. The product is love. Thinking of community and our people as a whole, whether you're a customer or an employee, a broista, a regional operator, a franchisee, somebody who works at HQ who plays a pivotal role in the infrastructure, you know, we're all about trying to figure out how to persevere through trying, challenging times. And hope is the name of the game.
Well, that is a good position to be in considering what we went in, what we went through in 2020. Look, here's what I remember about the beginning of 2020 when the pandemic hit. And we won't belabor all of the minor details about what happened when COVID first hit. But I remember talking a lot about how breakfast is dead, the morning day part is dead. All, you know, we watch Starbucks sales take a dive off the cliff. What was different about Dutch Bros in those early days? Were you guys scared or did you feel pretty good about your position that you were in?
Well, you want me to take that, Joth? I'll go with
why don't you start and I'll fill in the details.
Well, let's put it this way. We've never been afraid. I think right. Fear is one of those things that stifles people. It paralyzes folks. It's false evidence appearing real. So, you know, as we go along our path and things that come our way with change, our crusade is to figure out how to adapt to those changes and find a way to make lemonade out of lemons, if that's what we're dealing with. And at the end of the day, you know, our world is changing faster and more so than we've ever seen it. So there's a lot of moving parts and the game's complex, but that's, you know, part of our DNA is change and how we evolve.
And I think when we went, you know, when you go back to late March of last year and you know, we don't know, our first case came down in Monmouth, Oregon, and people weren't sure about safety and what was happening. And, you know, what we did was go back to the values of the company and really what Trav had really, and Dane had started in 1992. And that was, let's make sure we take care of our people. Let's make sure we communicate at an outstanding level to the field on a regular basis. Let's make sure we follow the rules. Our jobs weren't to be doctors and to second guess. We were basically here to say, what can we do? And then really we also just leaned squarely into philanthropy, because we did get a lot of like, Dutch Bros is an essential business. Like, why are you guys open? And I think one of the key decisions we made in late March was that we donated all of our profits in April to a program called First Responders First. And we ended up writing almost a $3 million check to First Responders First. And what it did is it really helped our people immediately have that reaction and feel proud about something we were doing versus having to defend why we were open. You know, and the other key things we did is we pulled all promotion. We didn't want anybody to think that we were trying to incent you to come to the window. So we pulled all promotion and just said, listen, we're here to serve. We're here to provide you a great experience. But we're not after anything more than just helping you out and helping you have a better day. You know, we did see day part shift and we certainly had some labor challenges and things of that nature, but it wasn't anything that we couldn't get through. Really it took the collective effort of the team to kind of help us manage through what was a tough April, but we got through it, and fortunately we're in the drive-through business and we didn't have to deal with shutting down indoor dining.
Yeah, you guys are drive-through experts, and of course that really helped you through 2020. What were some ways that you guys might have had to evolve your drive-through strategy? I mean, were there things you had to change about the drive-through model through 2020 to get you through some of the unique challenges of the pandemic?
Go ahead, Trav.
Well, I think the first thing that we wanted to make sure of is that our employees felt safe. And all employees, especially our broistas at the drive-through windows, we went to a cashless, frictionless form of commerce where we basically just said, okay, we're not going to take cash at all. You can dip your chip or swipe your card. We're never going to touch the customer. We're going to hand our beverages out the window to them via a tray, and really try to mitigate a lot of the potential contamination with COVID. And so, you know, we really were like, okay, let's really think this through. And our loyalty card at that time also was something that you know, was really touchy feely. And so, you know, we suspended that and put our nose to the grindstone and elevated one of our 5-year initiatives in making sure that we put technology first in our priority list and came up with an app that is a difference maker today. But if somebody would have told me that we're going to eliminate cash and do away with our stamp card at some point in Dutch Bros history, I would have said, no way, man, it's not happening. And it did. And yes, we took our lumps for about 2-3 weeks. But amazingly, our customers came back with loyalty that I was so blown away with. And you know, I think that's one of the great things about Dutch is, you know, our customers, They come for products, they come back for the people. And that was an ultimate reward for people, I think, that, you know, could maybe get in their car and make a trip through a Dutch and feel good about it and safe as they were maybe in a quarantine process. I don't know, but people staying at home, you know, certainly with fear, that was a big deal for us. And everybody adapted and things kind of came back miraculously, where we saw almost all of our customers come back and adapt.
You know, you guys have been talking about people a lot, which, you know, Trav, you mentioned you're in the relationship business. Have to imagine, again, 2020 was a good year to be in the people business because you had to really rely on your teams, as you've been talking about. Looking across, sort of holistically across 2020 and all of the challenges it entailed, how critical were your people to that? And how much did you really lean into the culture that you guys have built at Dutch Bros to really get through these challenges?
There's a lot of challenges, man. I mean, I think we only touched on the biggest one with COVID, but Joth, you should maybe take it away for the rest of it that we faced in the state and the West Coast for that matter with wildfires and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting is as you especially talk to people who've been around Dutch Bros for a long time, and Trav mentioned it earlier, is that it really, this culture is so amazing. And it comes back to, this isn't the first challenge that we had been through. It won't be the last one. But it was something where at this company, people tend to very much bond together and rise to the occasion. And so I think without the strength of culture and without the strength of the people systems and the way that we treat our people, I don't know that we would have gotten through the things that we did last year. Because, you know, between COVID and then the Black Lives Matter, you know, uprising, the social justice issues we faced, forest fires became our kryptonite and really shut us down in September in Oregon, especially in the Northwest. We had over 90 locations closed due to air quality. And then we really did a lot of work in preparing for an election season that we just weren't sure what was going to happen. So we spent a lot of time last year in just working with our people, pouring into our people to make sure that they were helping to problem solve, making sure they were helping to work through the various issues they were dealing with at the window. And, you know, while we sell product every day, you know, we really are in the relationship business with our customers. And when you do that, you build relationships, then in many cases, the customer feels like they need to share with you how you feel. And so we spend a lot of time, you know, working through, you know, how do you respond to that? Or what do you do? And what are the issues that you face? So it was a very challenging year from that end. But I'll tell you, the culture of this company, rose up even better than ever, from my opinion.
Trav, anything to add? I mean, you've been watching this culture develop for 30 years. What would you compare last year to, I guess, if anything at all? And how would you say it's the 30 years of work you've put into this really kind of came to fruition in 2020?
Well, I don't know that you can compare it to anything. I think it stands on its own in a unique place. If we went to history, you know, I can't imagine what it would have been like to go through the Spanish flu. I can't imagine what it would have been like to go through the Depression. I don't think we faced anything that was nearly as severe as those kind of things. And while it was challenging and it was brutal and it was difficult and it's horrific for a lot of people with loved ones lost and people going through, you know, the pain and the agony of COVID, I really think that our company showed resilience and our people that really were uncomfortable. They were allowed to stay home. They were allowed to, you know, find their way and keep their job and really try to figure out how to get to a place where we could bring them back in. And you know, I think as we grow and as we continue to ascend, we're never going to arrive until we depart on this earth. And that's just my personal belief. But I think Dutch is very much on its way to this place of functioning with a system that supports culture and people that maybe is something that no other business has ever seen. And I don't mean that in a cocky, arrogant way. I mean that in an exemplary way that we're all proud of, with values and principles that fuel that culture, that give us that spirit of, let's take care of each other and love on each other as people, because at the end of the day, what do we really have? And that's at the core of it.
Yeah. I want to bring this back to the coffee too. Because like I said, at the outset of this, it was interesting to watch breakfast in particular. Just, it took a while, I think, for breakfast to figure itself out. Coffee, of course, being a little bit separate from breakfast generally, but I'm wondering how the relationship your customers had with your product maybe evolved because of the pandemic. And I'll just throw out a personal anecdote for my own local coffee shop. I just remember suddenly going to get a cup of coffee and sitting in my car and drinking it felt like, you know, an adventure because I was getting out of the house, right? So it just felt like suddenly our relationship with these very normal experiences, like running through the drive-thru for coffee, really changed. What did you guys see from your customers, the way their relationship with Dutch Bros changed over the course of the pandemic? And were there any ways you guys tried to kind of harness some of that?
Well, we definitely saw changes. I think that as things evolved and depend on what market you were in and so on and so forth. But the big change for us was definitely a shift out of the morning. All of a sudden our 6 to 8:30, 9 a.m. business was cut dramatically. And we saw all of that business, almost all of it, move from 9 to 11:30. And there was a big shift. So, just people out of their normal routines, instead of going to work, going to school, they were basically coming to us for a break once they got their day started. The other big shift we saw was the amount of items per order went up significantly. So we saw a ticket go up, and it was just the, hey, I'm going to Dutch, anybody want anything? And so we saw a ticket rise quite a bit. And I guess one of the beauties of our concept is we don't really sell any food to speak of. And so we're really reliant on that beverage number. So we also don't do drip coffee. So we do everything from an espresso based. So it's a little bit more of, we serve the second drink in a day part. So if your first drink was black coffee at home to get your day started, we're going to be there for that second drink. So we just saw that second occasion move to more 9, 10, 11 a.m. And then we saw our afternoon business continue to do very well and hold up strong in afternoon and evening. And one of the unique parts of Dutch Bros is that our day parts really spread pretty even across our business based on the portfolio that we sell. So we certainly saw things shift, but I'd say that dramatic one was that early morning to mid morning was the big shift.
Almost like you had new opportunities for respite, that customers, if they were going more in the afternoon, maybe they didn't do that before because they needed, needed to pick me up emotionally as much as they needed the caffeine. So all of this considered, based on our numbers, you guys opened something like 50 locations in 2020 and you had sales growth. And so it's really amazing to consider, especially you had to navigate the pandemic. I'm sure, just like everywhere else, sales did initially take a dive before coming back. But you had to close stores because of wildfires. You were putting out figurative fires seemingly all year long. And you did very, very well. You opened stores and you had sales growth. What was key here? What was sort of the secret sauce? Of course, the culture being a part of it. But what else? What was going on at Dutch Bros that maybe other companies didn't really tap into?
Well, I think our infrastructure that we've built is pretty extraordinary. We have people that have been with the company for, 15, 20 years plus that are in the C-suite. We also have some experts that we brought in from different places and different organizations that had history and experience that really complement our growth trajectory and what we're trying to achieve. So I think it was really everybody coming together in the leadership side of things and the infrastructure and focusing in on what really mattered. What really, at the end of the day, if we looked at our own business, what was essential and what was critically important for us to execute, and how could we be laser focused on executing it. And with that mindset and that group collectively, from Joth and myself to Charlie to Brian, Christine, Keith, John, Andy, it just, everybody kind of came together, and then all of our teams as a result came together. I think it was an opportunity for everybody to show leadership, and I think we did that amazingly well.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, I think we never really wavered from the beginning. We didn't stop. We actually opened 72 locations last year, and wow. We didn't. And from the beginning, we said, unless somebody tells us that we're not supposed to do that, let's continue to work with municipalities. Let's continue to work on growth plans. Let's continue to work on the things that we can do. And if somebody says they don't want us to do it, then we are more than happy to stop. But we never went to our landlords and looked for breaks in lease payments. We basically said, we're going to continue to operate our business. We'll make changes where we have to, but that mindset that Trav and I had from day one, to Trav's point, I think it just carried through the organization and said, we're here to serve. And whether you're at the window or whether you're building a new stand or whether we're bringing employment to a new marketplace, we're not going to stop until somebody tells us otherwise. And you know what? Nobody told us to stop. The construction teams were happy. The municipalities were happy. And we opened in the fall. We were opening to really record numbers of grand openings of people coming to shop. And I think, to your point, they kind of looked at us as a respite. They looked at us as a positive part of their day, a positive thing that was happening in the market. And I think it just carried its own momentum, which we've carried through to this year.
Of course, there have been a lot of ways the broader restaurant industry has really changed because of what it's been through in the last year. Technology innovation has jumped ahead leaps and bounds. And Trav, you mentioned you guys also participated in that, developing your app. But even beyond that, I mean, you guys must be watching as the drive-through experts. You must be watching. Everybody suddenly was thinking a lot more about drive-through. And there were all these new prototypes and renderings I was receiving about all the companies that were trying to get, develed new prototypes based around drive-through, drive-in, curbside, all of that. You guys must be kind of laughing to yourself, because I know that some companies want to get into drive-through, and it really is not that simple to just say, I'm going to do drive-through. But what's your impression of the broader food service industry, the changes that have happened, and how that might change your approach to competition? Are you guys worried about the competition coming to drive through, or are you just going to lean into the strengths that you have?
Well, I'll let Joth answer this, but I can tell you that competition is always a good thing. I think as things evolve and as we figure out a better way to execute with system and people and structure and process, it's the sky is the limit, and we have a ton of white space to grow into. I tend to focus more on ourselves than I do what everybody else is doing, because I think we can always get better at our craft, but I'll let Joth speak to it.
Oh, I think Trav just said it really well. I think that I remind our teams not to be too concerned about everybody else. I think that Trav and I both will tell you that we're going to focus on ourselves. We're going to continue to do what we do really well. I think what's exciting for the industry, and I think what we should all be excited about, is the technology and the drive-through technology and the customer experience and the things that people are going to be testing and watching and improving, I think is going to make for an even better customer experience. And I'm actually excited for what happens to the industry because of what we'll be able to improve for the customer. So if the drive-through experience improves at McDonald's and it improves at Chipotle as they start to look at drive-through opportunities and continues to improve at Starbucks, like, I think that just improves the customer experience and everything that you do. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to be focused on yourself and relentlessly do what you do and who you are better every day. And I think if you stay focused on that, then I think great. Like, the more the merrier. To Trav's point, competition is fantastic. And I hope it helps everybody else around us.
Yeah. And if you want to take note of a really crazy, wild, innovative idea that is crushing it right now, and I'm just mind blown and mesmerized by it, is Mr. Beast Burger. You know, I mean, the guy is a YouTuber, but he's channeled, I think he's got 600 locations since November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The virtual brand space is crazy right now.
Pretty sure he doesn't have one employer or a dollar of rent.
I know you guys are kicking yourselves right now, huh? I figured I wish I would have gotten into the
wait a minute.
Wish I had gotten into the virtual burger space 30 years ago.
You know what? I wouldn't trade anybody for where we sit, man. I mean, we get to live it the whole way, you know, and I mean, there's nothing better than what we got out of it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Trav, too, I think the virtual brand space is here to stay, but I don't know if I think we'll have a minor bubble burst from all of that, just because at a certain point, especially when everybody is out to restaurants again, maybe it won't have the same appeal. But hey, we'll see, because I agree. I think it was really interesting to watch that grow as quickly as it did. I want to unpack the drive-through innovation thing just a little bit, though, because surely you guys, you know, we've put a little bit of distance between us and the worst of the pandemic, right? I mean, things look pretty good from that standpoint. You must have one eye on the future. You must have learned a lot as far as operations and technology go. So when you think about drive-through innovation, what does that look like? What are you guys looking at for the future that might, you know, really update, I guess, the Dutch Bros drive-through model?
I think our app is really the focal point. And Joth, maybe you want to elaborate on that. But, you know, to me, that's something that's an example of innovation that we've done just recently. And where that can lead us. So I'll let Joth answer that, because he's very much involved in the nuts and bolts of it.
So I think app is definitely a start of it. I think how you transact with a customer, I think app technology in the way that apps are used, and maybe more consumer interface, more consumer interchange on app value and app benefit, I think is one key area to that. I think that we all need to be watching car technology. I think that it's maybe not so much the things that we have control over, but the things that the customer is going to get introduced to in their lives. And we're seeing, you know, early conversations around vehicle technology and the ability to transact via your car. And you're seeing some tests happening with gas stations and things like that. I think the technology space is super important. You know, we're watching carefully about pre-order and how do you balance, I want my drink versus the experience that we provide. And I think as you think about customers' expectation and experience, I think you have to be looking at that as the way that you offer up your drive-through experience. There's going to be an amazing way to do that. And then there's going to be a way that people think of it as yesterday. And so watching customer experiences, watching how technology interfaces with that, watching the technology that the customer is introduced to, maybe not so much the industry, but the customer, and how you tap into that. I think those are all trends that we need to be watching closely. And I'm sure that there are various big companies doing that, and we're paying close attention to it. But I think for us too, like, we have to balance technology with our experience, because we have to remind ourselves that we're probably never going to be best in class in the tech space, but we will always challenge ourselves to be best in class in the experience space, and make sure that we don't let one maybe overshadow the other.
I think if we carry on the conversation with Elon Musk and teleporting coffees to everyone, that would be maybe the way for us to get best.
I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that.
He's not returning my call on him, man.
Are you guys breaking that news right here? Because you can.
There you go.
The first teleported coffee. I like it. Well, look, we're in the middle of 2021, right? I mean, you know, we've done so much talking about 2020, but we are halfway through 2021 now. well on our way past the pandemic. But there's a lot going on right now. And I'm sure you guys have some thoughts about labor, you know, going back to the culture thing. Labor is such a tough issue right now. And there's all sorts of other things. I mean, you know, of course, it's not like life is hunky dory post pandemic. What give me an assessment of 2021 as we've emerged from the pandemic. What are the things that you guys are struggling with right now? And what are the things that give you hope as you come out of the pandemic and into late the latter half of 2021?
You want me to take that?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, go for the, it. Why don't I start this time? You can follow me. So one is that we're excited about 21. We've opened several new states and markets. We're well on our way into the Texas launch, and which has given us really good like data points as far as how we're going to grow and where we're headed. We've got big plans for Texas and Oklahoma and places beyond that. We'll open almost 100 locations this year, which we're excited about and the teams are excited about. I think the one thing that I would say is a challenge right now is supply chain, just like everybody else. You know, and it's actually, if it's like, it's not the ice machine, but it's the part that makes the ice machine work that's not available. So, you know, seeing how lumber and other resources are challenged by the supply chain issues we're having, I think that's one. We're seeing a minor hiccup in labor, you know, and if we had a great labor situation before, I think we found it to be good. But our hiring practices and the way that our teams hire and kind of what we do and how we position ourselves, it's probably not hurt us as the way it has maybe some other restaurant businesses. But I think we found very good reception to our hiring. Again, doesn't mean we're not having challenges, but that's certainly out there. But everything else we're excited for. We think our app's given us great momentum. We've got over 2 million users now on our platform in the first 4 months that we've opened it. And we're kind of excited for the momentum that we've got building.
I think that's really well said. I mean, when you come get a job at Dutch, we have such flexible hours and tips are a big part of your income. So I don't think we're as affected as many other QSR kind of restaurants. So, you know, for us, it's one of those things that we have to monitor, we have to be aware of, and as things evolve, if there's adjustments we have to make, we'll adjust. But I think that supply chain point that Joth makes is very much all around us, and inflation is probably happening before our eyes. So, you know, trying to figure out how to best navigate through those things and come out on the other side. That's what we'll continue to do.
Speaking of that, how do you guys feel like the Dutch Bros position is compared to where you thought it would be right now? Having gone through the last 18 months, how do you compare where Dutch Bros is now to where you had projected it to be? Are you even beyond where you thought this brand could be right now in some ways because of the pandemic?
Without a doubt. I think, you know, I never would have been able to predict anything like COVID happening. I never would have been able to predict that we'd be as resilient as we were through it. And then I think today, our performance in new markets and in existing markets and how we continue to ascend is pretty, it's surreal. It's extraordinary. And I couldn't be more proud of our team and our organization.
Yeah. And I think to add to that, I think the period last year of last spring to early summer, I think accelerated, I think Trav and I's plan by 3 years, as far as where we thought we would be in our journey together. And I think we just got a chance to hunker down, and no different than the way the innovators were innovating. I think that we were taking a look at it to say, what could we accelerate in our plan and how could we get better right away? And I think the pandemic actually helped us do that. So we would come out of it even stronger and better than we were coming into it. And I think we're pretty happy with the way the teams executed that.
Piggybacking off of that, last question for you guys. How do you guys feel like you have grown as leaders? I mean, we talk a lot about people and relationships and culture. So I imagine you guys have personally felt like you must have changed some because of the pandemic as well. We'll have both of you answer. We'll start with Jock, but what do you think about your own leadership skills and what you've been through in the last year? How do you feel like you've grown or changed?
Oh man. It's been an awesome experience of growth. And I think that there were times where everything that got thrown at us last year, not just pandemic, but everything that got thrown, it was testing patience. It was testing, I pride myself on being a pretty steady leader and making sure that I was challenged in a lot of ways on being that steady leader and leading with that steady hand and making sure that when I walked into the room with a calm presence, that it allowed my team to feel calm and hopefully confident in where we were going. And I think that that just got strengthened in a massive way related to how we lead and what the team does. So it's been, yeah, it was hard, but man, it sure, I think it made me a better leader without a doubt.
Trav, final word.
Well, you know, for many, many years, I was a guy who was massive action guy, you know, and literally, you know, learned by taking the 2x4 over the head many, many times to figure out how to forge ahead and keep going and leave a giant wake for my team to kind of like figure out how to deal with. Bringing Joth into the fold has helped me in so many different ways because we actually plan things out really well now and and have 5-year planning stages and in a team that I think can breathe a little bit and process and really focus on building systems to support our culture and our people in so many different ways. And while that's always been so critically important to me, and it's something that I'm never willing to sacrifice or compromise, I've learned to adjust and really trust in team more than ever and delegate key responsibilities to so many of our leaders in the C-suite. And I am, I'm just like a proud father of our organization that is living on its own and doesn't need dad to micromanage them anymore.
That's great. Awesome. Well, gentlemen, it has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing and good luck to you as you guys continue to grow Dutch Bros. It's very exciting to see your success. So thanks again for joining me.